home of the stars, through the airwaves and on the big screen. Coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rated G Radio. You have called in for one of the most eagerly anticipated episodes of the year. Tonight we're going to be joined by six-time Emmy winner Jeanette Barber. She's going to be on the line talking to us about all the fun stuff that's going on in the world. And we're going to take questions from Facebook, including Barbara Gosman, who has emailed me her question ahead of time. She was a little nervous and didn't want to call in. And we have a whole host of people that have said, I want to talk to Jeanette. So I said, you got to call tonight at 10 p.m. East, 7 West. The time is now. We are live for the next 60 minutes. The hotline is 323-657-1493. Please call in. You have to press 1 if you'd like to ask a question. Otherwise, we just assume that you are going to want to, you know, sit and listen to the show, because that's what a lot of folks do. Real quick, I want to give a recap of where we've been this week, also of where we're going tomorrow, so you can go back and listen to any of the episodes you want for the week of November 30th. Monday, we had best-selling author Kathy Porter on talking about her latest science fiction bestseller called Escape from Noor. You will definitely want to check that out. Tuesday, we had Tony G out of Hackensack, New Jersey, calling in to talk about his, I think it was his ninth year in a row of being involved in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade and a lead for one of the balloons, and that whole experience. Totally fun talking to Tony. Yesterday, we did a two-hour Friday night dance party with Shotgun Holler. I realize that's a Wednesday. My computer was blown up last week, and I wasn't able to play the show as scheduled because I didn't have the computer to play it. We'd already done the interview for Black Friday, so tomorrow we're going to have a different show. But on Wednesday, we did the Friday night dance party from last Friday, so pretend it's Black Friday and pretend you're getting ready to go out and go shopping. But Shotgun Holler plays bluegrass music, and we had the guys from the band there, Matt and Sean, talking about growing up in Kentucky, and just super, super fun. And then tomorrow at 7 p.m. we've got Mr. Charles Wright. He is a legendary singer, songwriter, and producer. He is an author of a new book, and we're going to be talking to him on the Friday Night Dance Party in Hour 1, and of course, Hour number 2, it's your request. So get your request lined up, and it will be fun, fun, fun to have you be part of the show. But without further ado, like I always love to say, we have the one, the only, the magnificent Emmy winner, Jeanette Barber, with us on the show.
Hey.
How are you?
I am so good. I'm so excited to talk to you.
My gosh.
What? Isn't this weird what's happened with us?
I know. Yeah, this is just absolutely crazy, and I absolutely love it. Because, you know, and for everybody who doesn't know, I think everybody now knows that's going to be listening tonight. Many, many months ago, I said, wouldn't it be really cool if I could get Jeanette Barber to be a guest on the show? And I reached out, and you said, well, of course I'll do your show. And I went, well, what a score is that? And so, you know, I'm sitting here fawning all over you. And then I'm starting to listen to Do Completely Uninformed with Jeanette and Pete every single week. It's my favorite podcast of all time. I kid you not.
I don't even get paid
to say that, but it's true. And, you know, and you're doing all kinds of...
I get on the phone with you the last time, and it's because like you said, I said I would do the podcast. You know, why not? You seem nice. And within a minute, I felt like I was talking to someone I've known for my
best
entire
friends,
life.
Best friends, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I mean, how
crazy.
Long did this happen? Yeah. Well, and now I'm obsessed with you. I want to know everything about you. It's like, you know, because I've seen pictures of you, like pictures from the past with, you know, you're like all with, you know, the short hair. You are drop dead gorgeous. It's fine.
Sure.
You know, your hair. So you come from this, you know, completely other life. You've let everything, you just made it like a midlife. So I'm thinking, because I can't take callers on my podcast, and yet all I really want to do is hear about you.
Well, I mean, you know, but the show's not real. I'm glad to
I know,
you know, visit with
I'm
you about me,
you,
but it's, you know.
At
okay.
some point, we need to know more about you.
Okay, that's fair. I'll have you do a takeover of the show or something, and you can interview me or something. That would be fun. But
See, we're making plans. It's happening.
I'm telling. Well, see, I've got to have you back. So I will tell you, you have such a following on Facebook, and you have just amazing, loyal friends that absolutely love everything that you do. And I have I've been lucky enough because some of them have friended me here as a result of, you know, what you've said on your show, you know, many times in featuring my music and that type of stuff. So I just bow to you, Jeanette, for making all of that happen. But just fantastic people that you know.
They are wonderful. I've got to say, the listeners, and they've been with me since Sirius Radio. They are, it's like, actually, you know, I have actual friends that I, you know, and you don't think these things can happen, but they're like they're not like actual friends. They are actual friends.
Right.
And there is, and that is somewhat the magic of this medium as well. Something about the when it's just, not the video, when you can just hear us, there is something that breaks down a wall. And so I feel extremely fortunate. And that's really why I do the podcast, because I couldn't let go. I didn't feel when my show got canceled at Sirius, which happened during the corporate takeover. You know, I went out with like I don't even know how many other shows. So, you know, it's nice to not be alone. And but I felt like I was not just losing a show or a job. I felt like I was losing all of these people. So that's, and then Pete and I decided we would do the podcast. He's still off. He's been off for quite a few months, but because he's had, you know, he's got three kids, you know.
You know, he's got things to do, you know.
He's got three kids, he's got a dog, he's got a full-time job, and he just needed some time to pull his life together. But he's still part of it. He posts it. I have no technical ability whatsoever. Hey, how's the new Christmas song going?
The Christmas song, well, this is the Christmas song. Guess what? It's Christmas time, and we're going to actually do some self-promotion here and play it at the end of the song or at the end of the show tonight. The song is off of my first EP called Eyes Wide. And real quick, Jeanette, the backstory on that is I had three songs ready to go. The fourth song, it was mid-July, so of course, even in Southern California, it's like blistering hot. And an artist that my producer was working with was in the studio at the same time working on a Christmas album. And I said, well, who would do? He says, when do you think Christmas songs get recorded? At Christmas time? No, they're busy recording their summer hits, for, you know, goodness sakes, you know.
Exactly.
And I said, I need to do one more song. And he says, well, what do you want to do? And I said, if she's doing a Christmas album, I want to do a Christmas song. So I sat down and I wrote this song about my dogs, Guess and What, and those are real dog names. From years ago, I had these two dogs, named the dog Guess, and everybody said, what's your dog's name? So the running joke was Guess, you know, King, Rover, Spot, Fido, you know, that type of thing. Once you got past that and everybody got the chuckle of the dog's name is Guess, when it came time to have a brother for Guess, I said, well, it has to be a name that kind of, you know, complements it, you know, like, you know, it can't be like Guess and then like King. That just won't work. And so I said, we need to have Guess What? And everybody said, you can't name your dog What. The dog won't understand it. The dog understood. And so we had Guess and What for years and years. And they were my best friends for ever, ever, ever. But of course, you know, dogs only live so long. They've crossed the rainbow bridge. And so I thought, you know, as much joy and happiness as they brought to my life, wouldn't it be fun to be able to talk to people about pet adoption, regardless of the time of the year, and how awesome it makes you feel? What also makes you feel awesome? Christmas. What also makes you feel awesome? The beach. Well, let's make a song about all of that. So that's kind of how that came together. Isn't that funny?
It's funny. But, it's beautiful. I love it.
But it's fun. It's doing really well. It's I'm trying to get it to chart right now on a new service called Hottest New Artist. So one of the things that I'm doing tonight, it's kind of like American Idol, all the things that you're able to do, you know, text this, you know, 10 times to this number or do whatever. They kind of are on the same kind of a thing. So I'm sending notes out to everybody saying, please vote for Guess What? It's Christmas time. And, you know, make me happy.
And
we'll see.
For all of our people, the link will be up on where? On your Facebook page?
It'll be up on my page. And, you know, I'm soliciting, you know, I've got Barbara, I've got Sharon Crawford that I'm going to send it to. And, of course, you know, Stephen Borum is listening tonight. Wesley out of our.
I love you, Stephen.
Yeah. So they got them all. You got the whole, you know, team. But anyhow, so anybody who wants to go and vote, it's really easy. You just go and say, I vote for Guess What? It's Christmas Time by Garrett Miller. That's all you got to do, and it counts. And if this
totally
hits,
do it.
It will be my third back-to-back number one on their service. So it's like, well, how many times does that ever happen? None. So, you know, there we go. Anyhow. But this is about you tonight. Yeah. So,
it's all about me. That's what I like to say in real life.
It's all about you. As I'm going to change it to the subject of your cat, Beasley. So how is Beasley doing? Is he hanging in there?
Still, He's doing okay. He's about 20 years old. He has. He does have a touch of cancer. Oh, gosh, I just stepped in tea. He's also incontinent.
Oh.
I just literally went into pet him and I went, oh, this is nice. When you have a cat that has become incontinent, one thing, and this is a tip that will help others, stop being barefoot in your own home.
Yeah.
Not such a good idea.
Not a good thing.
And now he has done this. He has just really given me this surprise in the past few minutes. Aren't you sweet, baby? It is on the 24th. It was, I'm literally cleaning pee while we're talking. On the 24th, it was 5 months from when the vet thought he had 1 month left to live.
Well, he's a fighter. He's not ready to go.
He is not ready to go. I mean, I don't know how long we'll have him. He's still hanging in there. There's no sign of discomfort. I won't leave. I would never leave him suffering. And the last time I took him to the vet, he's about really. I could have a car or a vet bill, but he's worth it. And I said,
yep.
You know, just check me because you know we see what we want in our pets. And you know, I'm not seeing any sign that he's ready to go, and she's not seeing it either. And if you remember the last time I was on the show, we talked about Nighthawk Minerals.
Yes, I was going to ask you about that.
Well, this is what I attribute it to. Why is this cat still alive? It is even the vet is going, this, it doesn't, you know, 3 years ago his kidneys were going, he was supposed to be kicking the bucket. You know, the only thing I'm doing, and I'm doing nothing. He does not have, no special kidney food. He's diabetic, no special diabetic food, because he won't eat it. So I just wanted to be able to be happy. So that is the one thing that I'm doing. And he's with us. So thank you for asking.
Well, you know, it's tough because, you know, they are your kids. And no matter what people say, you know, about pets, you know, if you don't like pets, you just won't ever get it. But if you have pets, you totally, you know, they're your life.
Yeah, well, you have to get, you know what, because I didn't even want cats. When Barry first got here, Modi goes, you don't have a cat, you ought to have a cat. And I said, you know, what, no, they crap in a box. What, no. It's like that's, you know, if I had a friend come over and take a crap in a box in my house, honestly, we have issues. So
big
I didn't
time.
Think I would like that. But then you get the cat. Then you start living with an animal, and you see what that brings to you. So I really believe a whole lot of people that say that they don't like pets, that's because they didn't have one. Because I never didn't like animals. But
right.
I thought, yeah. And dogs, I love all, well, when I was a kid, I was obsessed with dogs. But I live in New York City, and they like
practical.
To be walked, and I'm lazy, and, you know, but I may have said this before, which is, you know, the need to hear that, but my thing about a dog, the reason I don't want a dog is because in my world, no one on this earth should be that happy to see me. It's just, I don't know what to do with that. But a cat? You walk in and they go, oh, you're here.
Yeah,
look, I took a
dump.
Would you please?
Yeah.
That works for me. I love that.
Well, hey, we've got a caller, and I haven't screened the call, so I don't even know who this is. But I figured, you know, we've got some people that wanted to talk to you tonight. They've actually pressed the one on the keypad. So we're going to throw caution to the wind. I'm going to unmute your line, area code 585. 585, you are live with Jeanette Barber. Welcome.
Hello, Jeanette Barber and Garrett. This is Steve Borum.
Steve! Wow.
Yes. Steve, it's been how long since we talked when you were on my show 100 years ago? How are you?
I'm doing just fine, and I was so excited to hear. First of all, I love this podcast of yours, Garrett. This is only the second time I've heard it. This is fantastic.
Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you very much.
You're
welcome.
You
get an award.
But I was so excited that you were going to be on tonight, Jeanette, that I don't actually even I don't have a question, so I'm not going to take up too much time, but I just had to touch base and tell you how much I just – like, I just adore you. I adore you.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I feel the same. You've been part of the group right from the beginning, Garrett, right from the beginning, Steve, from Rosie Radio, then over on my show, and you gave some, let's just call them festive gifts to some of my listeners. Do we know what you do? Do Garrett's listeners know?
I don't know. I sell adult merchandise to folks.
There we go.
You want to have a good time.
There you go. Yes, so, but, and what's funny is, and this is where I feel like I would come off way too stalkery, because first of all, what you just said about nobody should be that happy to see you, I would totally be a dog for that. I would love to see you. So I was like, oh, maybe I do have an issue. But I remember you on the first show. You were just, you were the producer on Rosie's first show, and you sat there talking about your cat, like back in 1996.
Uh-huh.
And then I remember you standing behind her, or standing behind, like, as a producer on The View. Like,
uh-huh.
You've always kind of been, like, a presence. And then when you were on the radio show, and I love your passion about, you know, just what you think and feel, and you really don't seem to back down, and you're just wacky enough that keeps people on their toes. I think that's, you're just uniquely amazing, and I adore that in somebody. So I thought I'd pass that along to you.
Thank you. I'm speechless. And how often does that happen to me?
Honestly? Exactly.
And Steve,
yeah,
if you want to come on and be a guest sometime, it's rated G because it's Garrett, not because it's a G-rated show. But I like I told Jeanette, I don't swear because if I start swearing, it just sounds like I have Tourette's, and the only thing I do is go F F F F F. But
yes.
In the new
yes.
year, if you'd like to come on and maybe we can promote your site or products or something in a not necessarily kid-friendly environment or something, but, you know,
yeah.
something
no,
like that. Let me know.
I appreciate that, and sincerely. And I can usually be as delicate as I need to the audience at hand. I did just want to ask Jeanette one question. Do you keep up with anybody from the old program? Like, I know Bobby's mom just passed, and Jeannie's husband has passed.
Yeah, that is sad.
Yeah, do you keep up with any of them?
Well,
or?
The people that I keep, of course, Pete, obviously.
Right.
And Shoshana and I will get together not tremendously often. She's actually in, I forgot the name. She moved to a new job, and I can't now remember, so that won't do us any good. But I keep up with Shoshana. I talk to Bobby now and then. I've not seen James. You know, is this a bad sign? I wanted to have lunch with James. So I wrote and I said, do you have time for lunch? He said, sure, and I will send dates. Now, if you know me really well, you know that I suck at actually keeping up with people, communicating in any way. And the other day I went, wait a minute, wasn't that January?
Oh, gosh.
I think it was January when I said I was going to send dates. Now, is this technically too late? But I think I'm going to write to him because, I mean, I can't go, well, I fucked up, so I'm never going to speak to you again.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, no, you should reach out. You should reach out.
Because I really like James. I know
yeah.
Pete has seen Lou, and Lou is still doing fine. I still get together now and then with Larry Flick, if anybody listened to The Morning
yeah.
Cult.
Yeah.
He was a good friend of mine. So I keep up a little bit.
That's excellent.
You know. Yeah, you still miss it. It's hard not to miss, you know, anybody that's in this field. There's something about, like, as Garrett and I started tonight, there's something about this particular medium. And
oh, no,
I
absolutely.
I keep up with a lot of my listeners. That's
and
the thing
I'm
that is so
you,
wonderful.
And as a fan, like, sincerely, as a fan, and, like, I use radio, you know, whether it's Sirius, whether it's podcasts, whatever, to really kind of keep a pulse on what people are genuinely thinking as opposed to just getting the sound bites that are out there. And,
uh-huh.
you know, you all always have done such a nice job of just being so just outspoken, but really never offensive. Just like, this is what I think, this is what I feel. And it's hard not to connect to that. So, I mean.
Thank you. Every once in a while, I did lose one listener on the podcast because she got very upset with me over my strong position on freedom of choice.
Gotcha.
And, you know, I was sorry to lose her because I like her. I think she was a lovely woman. It's okay with me that she doesn't agree with me.
Right.
I just needed it to be okay with her that I didn't agree with her.
Right.
And it wasn't, and if she ever comes back, or you know what I mean? But sometimes that happens. But, you know, it's weird. I know when earlier on in radio, there were a couple of things that you are almost afraid to say because you know, and because as I like to say it, as you're delicate, Steve, I was delicate. I have exercised my right to choose. Which
right.
is, you know, instead of saying I had a,
right.
and that was a little, and to talk about atheism, that also I thought,
right.
oh my God, I'm going to turn the Western world. But if you can't actually say what you think, then what would be the point of doing it? You
well,
know
no,
what I mean?
And that's what's going, and then I am going to let you go because I know you have other listeners that you want to call in, but that is what's going on, I've noticed, on like daytime television, like The View, because I do still watch it,
mm-hmm.
that they are so worried about offending somebody now that the ladies are constantly apologizing after saying something for fear that it might be taken wrong. And it takes you out of the conversation, and the jokes fall flat then. And
right.
it does
it,
seem
it
like
ties their hands.
Completely. And but now they apologize as if to say before there can be any type of backlash. And I'm sitting there going, screw that. Like, we need real conversation, and radio and podcasts are where people are going now. Because
right, well, this is the only place you can be real.
You can be
right.
filtered.
Mm-hmm.
So, but again, sincerely, I don't want to take up too much time. I just had to call in and touch base with you both. I just enjoy you both so much. And Jeanette, it's just, for years, you're one of the few people I've never actually laid eyes on in real life that I feel connected to. So thank you so much for just being there.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm glad you called in. It was so wonderful to hear your voice again.
Take care, my dear. Enjoy your holidays. Thank you, Garrett.
Thank you, and make sure to, you know, ping me, and we'll go ahead and set up a time in January or February to bring you on, and we'll sell some merch.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much, and I'm going to go on right now and vote for your Christmas song, so there you go.
There you go. It's a win-win. Thanks, Steve. Have a good night.
Take care. Do I have to do anything on my end to disconnect this, because I still want to
listen? Nope, I'm going to hang up on you.
All right, perfect. Thank you.
Or I'll just put you on hold. If you want to hang up, you can, but, you know,
yes, I'd like to still listen.
Okay, well, I'm just going to put you on hold then so you can listen to your heart's content, okay?
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Very good. Thanks again. Hang on. Jeanette, do you want to swap to caller number two? Again, the phone lines are lighting up. I'm telling you, it's a popularity contest. They're like, Jeanette's going to be on the show. Okay, we're going to call in. So let's
so
do
sweet.
It.
I haven't heard these. That's wonderful.
703 area code. I have not screened your call, but welcome to the show. You're live with Jeanette.
Hello, Garrett and Jeanette. It's Sharon.
Hey!
Yay!
Can you hear me okay? I'm on a headset.
You're great.
No. Yeah, you can hear. Okay. Hi. I'm so glad Steve Borum called and gushed all over Jeanette already so that I don't have to.
Oh.
No, go ahead, Sharon. It's fine.
Jeanette, I told Garrett the same thing, that we want to know about him. I said, I'm going to have questions for you. He said, no, it's Jeanette's night. We have to make sure to keep me in the Jeanette Head fan club because he said I should call in on another night to ask all about him. We're so curious about Garrett.
Okay. Do you have one question, Sharon? I'll answer anything. So, you know, my life's an open book. But, again, I wanted to celebrate Jeanette and all the things that are going on in her world tonight.
We'll just have to catch up on Facebook because I just want to know all about your dogs, Garrett.
Okay. Well, okay. Here's a quick dog story, and then we'll get back to the other, you know, the other things that are going on, like, you know, our star of the show, Jeanette Barber. So I have five dogs right now, and they're five rescue chihuahuas. If you've ever seen the show True Blood on HBO, and if you have, you'll totally get the reference. If you haven't, you'll just think I've lost my mind. But I've always tried to have dog names
that...
Well,
you have lost your mind, clearly.
Well, I've lost it, and it was a short drive, too, you know.
Exactly.
You know. But before I had these dogs, I had a Phoebe, Rachel, and Monica, you know, named after the characters in Friends.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So... And they were all labs. And at one time, I had seven labs at my house in Phoenix at one time. And that was a little on the crazy side.
That is a herd.
It was a herd, but it was fun. And I loved them, but that was just a little bit much. So as time passed and rainbow bridges happened and things like that, you know, I got down to, you know, I was down to the dog side that I now have in California, and I've got five rescue chihuahuas. And
thank you for saving babies.
Well, that's the, you know, anybody can go to a pet store, and I love all the states like Arizona who now says you have to, if you're going to go to a pet store, they have to be from shelters and things like that. I think that's totally right. You know, the all the puppy mills and things like that, and it just, you know, I just want to go beat people up, and that's not a good place to be. The five dogs I have, their names are Eric, Bill, and Sookie. Those are the three lead characters from True Blood. And then my other two dogs are Angie and Jen, Angelina Jolie and Jennifer Aniston. Now, you would say, where's Brad? Well, the interesting thing is that Bill used to, well, when I first got Bill at 8 weeks, Jen and Angie were all litter mates, all three of them, so, you know, brothers and sisters. Bill did not answer to Brad, but as soon as I changed his name from Brad, you know, Brad Pitt, to Bill from True Blood, Bill stuck. And he knew that was his name. And so anytime he's, you know, he needs a little extra attention because he's really the big baby of the whole group. It's like, William, do you need a little extra love? And he's like, yes, Papa, I need to come and sit in your lap. So he'll come and sit in my lap while I do the show. And, you know, here we go. But so those are the five dogs.
Thank you for rescuing.
Oh,
I
you bet.
You know,
they're the best.
They are, and Sharon devotes herself to animal rescue, and she has helped me through so many. Well, just recently, Beastly all of a sudden started eating like a horse, and it wasn't until I talked to Sharon that I realized that was a sign that his insulin was unbalanced. And sometimes it's just, you know, it's just knowing. So that literally, you know, when you feel like there's something happening with your animal, and if you miss it, if I do the best I can, but if anything happens to him and it's my fault, I can't. I couldn't live with it.
Yeah.
So that was a big help. Garrett, would you mind if, while Sharon is on, if I talked a little bit about Christy, who I talked to you about earlier today?
Because, well, I wasn't sure if we wanted to cover that in the second half of the show or not, so that would be fantastic if you'd like to do that. You bet.
Oh, well, the only reason is because Sharon is involved.
Oh, well, then absolutely. You must.
Yeah. See, so for your listeners, for people who don't know who Christy McIntosh is, I want to tell you that there was a woman named Christy who I met on Rosie Radio years ago. She was a listener. She was one of our first callers. She was our very last caller. Christy has a fairly brutal form of cancer. She has a lung carcinoid. It is such a rare cancer that if a doctor has treated 10 patients, he's considered an expert. It is extremely, she sometimes spends months at a time in the hospital. There are fevers, but the disease itself, of course, is what the disease is, but then you got to think of the money for the treatment. It's crushing no matter what cancer you have, but when you have one that is rare, that means all of the medications are even worse. She was a special ed teacher. Her husband is a school teacher, seventh grade history teacher. So we all got to know her, and the core group of my listeners. And when I found out, it was in October of 2012, I think, I found out that the medical, even though they have insurance, the copays have impoverished them. They have lost literally every material thing they had, including their home. Some of her medications are so expensive, and listeners, you're going to be surprised where this is headed, because you may think you know where I'm going, but trust me, there's a surprise twist here. Some of her medications are so expensive, there are literally, like, there's one $8,000 a month. This is what she has to have to stay alive, and her husband is a school teacher in a small town. Well, Sharon, this is why I wanted her to stay on the phone, Sharon took it upon herself a few years ago to create a Facebook page called Christie's Elves, and you spell Christie with a K. And we all would get together at Christmas time, and we would make sure that family had a Christmas. And it would be, you know, stuff that they needed and, you know, stuff that they wanted. And, you know, we've been doing this for years. Well, this year Christie had a request for Sharon. And it was, this year, and this is a family, she has three children, this is a family that, and they've, I can't even tell you what this family has been through and how little they actually have because of the bills that they've had to pay. So this year, her request is, could you please, this year, instead of giving stuff to us, we would like instead to be able to provide a Christmas for some of Scott's students. Scott, her husband, teaches in a Title I school. If you don't know what a Title I school is, it is they are among the poorest students in the nation. And he's got a couple of groups. He teaches English as a second language in one of the groups, and he's got kids. And it's not like you're just teaching Spanish. He's got kids from Asia. He's got kids from, wait a minute, I actually made a note on this. Don't go anywhere. This is what I always do on my show. You know, as soon as I have to open a computer, I immediately begin to panic, and you have to go away. Not you, the listeners. Where is it? But anyway, he's got people from.
I read it too, and I I don't know what.
Oh, yeah.
You have it in your note, and I read it like 10 minutes ago, and now I'm trying to find it also, and I can't find it. But they're from
Africa,
all over the world.
India, Central America. He teaches them to speak. He teaches them to read and write it in English. He's got kids that they may be in middle school, but they're at different reading levels. Some of them are at a first grade level, not because they're not intelligent, but because they're learning. You know, I don't know how much travel people have done, but when you go to another country and you don't speak a word of that language, you know, I wouldn't want to be in that position, because when I'm there for 10 days and then I'm back on a plane. You know, I've learned Maupay na Aga. I know how to say hello in a dialect in the Philippines. I can then go home. But they need to, you know, live. This year, Scott, and I've been down to Georgia and I've met the family, and I'm telling you, these people are amazing. Christy and her husband, when they look at each other, they are such a love story. They look at each other, I'm telling you, it's as if the light in the room gets brighter. It's really, I get chills thinking about it. But these students, their families, and their families are involved, and they understand the value of an education, and they're doing the best that they can, but there is simply so little money. So the kids don't get anything extra. They don't get something that we would think would be absolutely basic, like a book. So this year, what he wants to do and what they would like, instead of presents for themselves, they would like us to help them be able to give a party for the kids, where they would have a pizza party, where each kid would be able to get a book and maybe a card game, because card games help with English. He also has he's also a coach, and he's also got a group that we would do the same thing with of kids. They play ball, but it keeps them safe. They live in neighborhoods that aren't safe. Scott will, whenever he can, try to transport them home. We're talking about neighborhoods that are violent, so they're not physically safe. This is a family, the McIntoshes. Legitimately, you would be able to say, you know what? You could really say, you know what? I've got enough on my plate. I think I better just take care of myself. But with everything that they have and don't have, they will. If a kid needs a pair of shoes, they will go out. If they cannot buy it, which they often can't, because they have no money, because cancer has taken every dime they have, they will try to find it. They will. Is there a secondhand store that might have one? Is there any way that they can get something? So this year, instead of a present for themselves, they want to be able to have the experience of doing something for these kids. So on the Facebook page, Christie's Elf, spelled with a K, you're going to find links. There's a page up, Amazon wish list, where it's books. So you can participate in this. This is what Christmas is about. You can go out and make a difference in a kid's life, a kid that you don't know, a kid that you won't see, for as little as $5 or $6. And I want to say that's one of the things that Christie said. She said to me, she goes, I know the power of what it does to have people care enough to help your family, even when they may not know you well or at all, and when you have nothing to give in return. That's what humanity is about. And they will also find, and they did this year, there's usually, they'll find a family who has more need than others, which is in this context. You know, this is a small town, a Title I school in Georgia, which I think is in even more trouble than a Title I school in New York. But she found this little boy, a great kid, and with four younger siblings, and Christy met and talked to his mother about what they were going to need, and the woman was literally crying because she was trying to figure out what to do about jackets, because actually, it gets cold in Georgia. You know, we're not in the Keys. And the little girl, here's what she wanted. She didn't want toys and video games and, you know, scary guys. She wants a jacket that wasn't her brother's, so she didn't have to look like a boy. They wanted a wreath because they're kids and they really wanted a tree, but they couldn't afford a tree, but they thought maybe if they had a wreath, it would feel like Christmas to the kids. And then if I can give you one more thing that was shocking about this, part of the reason why this woman is struggling so much, she was in a relationship with a man and it was not safe. I don't need to say more. This happens. No. She was not safe. She had to get away. So she got away from this man with her children and was getting support with her family. And then she came out and lost the support she had, because now her family says she's going to hell because it's wrong to be gay. She's been with her partner for 3 years, but they can only get temp work because they had to move because where it was, where they were living, it wasn't safe. So Christy will also be putting up a wish list for this family. So if you want to feel better than you have ever felt in your life, if you want to make the best Christmas, go to Christy's Elves. And Sharon, I wanted you to stay on the phone because I want to say you started this. I didn't start this. Nobody else. There's a lot of work that goes in to maintaining this. And between Christy and Sharon, if you go there and you have questions, if you have something you wanted to donate that's not on the list and you need to know why, you post that question, it's going to be Sharon. It's going to be Sharon that's watching for that and making sure that's happening. And I really wanted to just make sure you were here to hear how much we appreciate what you've done as well.
Well, you know how I feel about it, Jeanette. I never even realized that I should that I was the one else that always was there. But I you know why I do it, because I love Christy so much, because I love her family so much, because I have not met them in person, but they are more like family to me than my own family. And even as poor as my life can be sometimes, I feel entitled when I talk to these people who are struggling and want to give to people that have less than them.
Right,
you
because,
know,
Garrett, if you met Christy, the thing about Christy is she's always in a good mood. She's the happiest person I've ever met. She knows the truth of life. There is only one thing, and that thing is love. That is all there is. So I would like to invite your listeners, along with my listeners, to go to Christy's Elves and participate in this. The first book on there is $3.57. It's less than a Starbucks coffee. So there is not one of us. Not one of us listening to this show, Rated G Radio, that could not afford to just buy a book, buy a card, or the second wish list will be coming up later in the week to help that family. Every year, we do this with Christy. Barry and I, with his family out in western Pennsylvania, they always choose a family. This is the best thing you can possibly do for yourself, is by helping somebody else. So it blew me away when Christy's youngest son she proposed doing this, instead of having them get all the presents, he said, "Why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we want to do this?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't we?
Yeah.
People have done this for us. Of course we want to do this." So
Well, I've got you both here. I am struggling on the Amazon site to find this because I wanted to put this on the show page while we're actually doing the show, so if people refreshed, we could do that. Sharon, can you kind of guide me a little bit? And I'm going to try to do some IT work while you guys are chatting here.
If you want to are you on Facebook now?
I'm on Amazon right now trying to find the wish
list.
If
you go to Christy's Elves on Facebook, you're
that's where I need to find it. Gotcha. I'm a little slow.
Christy's,
okay, so that Christy's
Elves.
No, you can find it on Amazon. However,
there we go.
You have to go into wish list. Yeah.
Right. Let's make this easy for everybody listening, because a lot of you do not have a pen in your hand. You want to go to Christy's Elves on Facebook. You're going to see the first posting right now.
It's $3.59. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, here it is. Okay, I found it.
Yeah, you can get a collection of books for like $3.97. This is one of those things. If we all do this, and you can buy multiple books because different kids can get it. I would love to have our goal, our collective goal of all of our listeners right now. I would like our goal to be that those kids don't walk away with one book and one card, card game. I would like them to walk away with a bag of them. And when you go to Christy's Elves on Facebook, and you'll read this whole story. Christy wrote it out. There's a way that you can donate pizzas from Papa John, $6 a pizza. Christy and her family would love to pay for this themselves. They literally can't. Christy, who has cancer and a blood clot in her jugular, is going to make cookies for the party. We can't buy a pizza. I think we can buy a pizza.
Yes.
$6 for a pizza.
Yes.
And all of that information is right there in Christie's Elves. How to buy that Papa John's voucher, what email address to send that voucher to. It's going to be christieselves@gmail.com so that they'll be able to get it. There's the wish list right now is up there for the books. There will be a wish list for that family of that woman who lost everything because she came out and decided to be who she truly is. The right that we have to be who we are, to not be judged by our sexuality, that makes me so mad. It is hard for me to even control it. We get to help that family this year. It's like, whose life are we living that we get to do this?
Yeah.
And just to let everybody know, thanks to Sharon here, I've updated the show page, and I actually put the Amazon wish list link on the show page. So if you refresh your screen, you're going to see a link right there. If you click it, it'll take you right to Amazon. And while we're talking on the show, you can go change some lives.
Yeah.
Thank you, Garrett. Thank you.
Oh, my
gosh.
It's so wonderful. Have you ever seen a little kid who had nothing get a present? It's one thing when you see a little kid who has a lot of stuff get a present, they're cute too. But when you see a little kid who has nothing, it is, because I have been that privileged to be able to see that. And there is just nothing in the world. And this is the gift of books. These kids are learning English. If they cannot learn to navigate the world in the language of this country, what chance do they have? So this actually contributes to the future. It contributes to our future too, because if the kids aren't able to take care of the world, we're all screwed.
Yep.
So.
Absolutely.
I'm getting a text from Christy right now that says that Scott is on hold behind me, and that's Christy's husband. And
oh, I'd love to have him on. Just tell him to press one. I don't know which line is his. I've got about 30 people on hold right now. So if he presses one, I will answer it. I promise.
And I'm supposed to, Christy is asking me to tell you, Garrett, that there will be more added to the book list.
Cool.
So let's do it.
Okay.
I'll go ahead and text him.
Well, I think he just pressed number one, so hang tight. Let's see if we can get, we're going to have a four-way call here. Okay, Scott, think this is you are now live with Jeanette and Sharon.
Hey, how are y'all?
Oh man! Hi.
I was gonna call. Good. I was gonna call as an anonymous caller, and ask you, would you rather kiss a donkey on the butt or a rabbit between the ears? And then you get lumps in my throat when I'm listening to the show. That's a little private joke.
Yeah, it has a lot to do with pulling the lining out of your pants pockets to be the donkey, and you just figure out the rest.
Yeah.
I love what you're doing, Scott. I love this.
Oh, well, my kids are my kids. At school, I tell them they're my boys and girls, just like my own children are. This is my first
good
year
man you
teaching
are.
The – Yeah, thank you. I'm teaching ESOL ESOL for the first – this is my first year doing that. I've taught social studies the rest of my career. But I do that, and I coach, and – my boys on my teams are I treat them just like I do my own children, and both of my boys played for me and played on the teams, and the kids see that, you know, I don't treat them any different than I treat my own kids, and give them tough love at times and love on them, be sweet sometimes. But what y'all are doing is amazing. Sharon and Jeanette and Marie and Tina and Mike, and just there's so many people we've met. I used to make fun of Christy when she listened to the Rosie show. Used to tell her, you know, you don't know these people. I'd laugh at her because my mom, when she first got the internet, she talked to people from other places. And remember we went to see Petra, and I said, it's probably some big old hairy guy in a white t-shirt, shorts, and flip-flops. And we're going to walk in the house, and he's going to be like a serial killer. And that's when I started. That's when I met everybody up there at Myrtle Beach. And this is such a loving group. It's like y'all have all known each other all your lives, and it's funny because you have better friendships online than you actually do in life, and it's just it's amazing.
Yeah, and there, you know, not every, I don't understand how this really happened with us, because, you know, there are people, I had a message board on my cat's website years ago before Facebook existed, and, you know, people would get in there and be snipey sometimes and nasty, but in our group, that never happens. And I think that something's so supportive, because, you know, that's why when we found out Garrett Miller existed, no, he's ours. He's just ours. We want his music. We want to know what happened to him. We find everybody that comes into our group gets embraced, and I don't know where else this happens. But I think, Scott, to come up with an idea like this, it's, you understand why it's moving to people, because there are a lot of us that walk around going, oh, my God, I only made $200,000 this year. This is ridiculous. No, I can't afford to do that for you.
Yeah.
And for you guys to just go, you know what, we can make a difference in these kids' lives. How is there a way to describe what level of poverty? Because I think for people who've never been in a Title I school, I think it's sometimes hard to understand what we're dealing with.
Well, first of all, everybody in the school gets free lunch.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
because they're not getting food at home.
Well, right. Yeah, we've got a grant that our school, our community that we serve is so poor that we've got a grant that pays for everybody's lunch. So everybody's on free lunch and free breakfast. So everybody, all the kids that walk into school, they can go eat breakfast for nothing, you know, for free in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and they can eat lunch for free. And, you know, a majority of the kids, that might be the only meal they get out, you know, during the day. And, we try to feed. I've got some parents that help me out with my athletic teams, and they make sure that we've got, you know, food to feed the kids before the games and before the practices and all, because, you know, we don't know how many calories they're getting at home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just sad to see that, you know, everybody wants to help other people, but they don't look in their community and say, hey, we need to help our community. And it's just sad to see. I mean, it's just disheartening to see so many of these kids not have anything, and you wonder how they even make it through the day. And in the, you know, in some of the neighborhoods they live in, you just wonder how does that kid not get lost? But they want to get out of you know, the poverty, and they want to get out of the violence. And, you know, I've got kids that can't even leave their apartment. You know, their parents keep them inside all day because of the things going on around them, and sports and school are the only outlets they have.
Wow. So, well, they're lucky
to have. You just want to do whatever you can.
You're going to make such a big difference in so many of these kids' lives, because to many of them, you're the only thing they have that is a kind human being.
Yeah.
Besides their mom.
Right.
And you're letting all of us get in on it this year by going to
thank you.
You don't know how happy that makes me. When Christy said, they're going to do something for one of your boys' family and for your Esau kids. And I thought, you know, a lot of these kids, especially the ones I've gotten this year, I've gotten several from Central America from the same town. And I mean, they don't have anything, and their parents are here trying to keep them safe and trying to find work and doing whatever they can. And they know that the education, you know, they need the education, they need to learn English, they need to be able to function in our society to stay, you know, to make something of themselves, because they want them to have a better life than what the parents have.
And, you know, there's a horrible thing that people none of the ones that we know, but people that we know, but this idea that of blaming the victim. Oh, you know, everybody, you know, just give them to them. Why not? These people want to work. These people work very, very hard.
Most definitely.
Yeah, and these aren't, so they're not sitting there going, you know, so what? The kid doesn't learn anything. Let him sit there, eat the breakfast, and come home. You know, it's not like that at all. To me is even more moving. When you see people, there's a vulnerability in need. When you see somebody, because you see it in their eyes, you see it in their faces, that rawness of effort. And that's something we don't all realize. So it is never, it is not their fault. It is our fault if we don't help them.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And that's what we're going to do this year.
And that was, thank you, Garrett. And thanks.
Yeah, and what's amazing is seeing these Esau kids. We've got iPads. We got a grant, and I got iPads. Well, the teacher previously got iPads for our class. And to get on there, and, I mean, it's something as simple as reading a Dr. Seuss book, having one of those read-alongs where somebody actually reads the book and turns the pages, and they get to hear it in English. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the people on YouTube speak a lot more clearly than I do. They get to listen to that and read that, and they're just amazed by it. And they've started reading some of these. I grew up reading Dick and Jane and Dr. Seuss, and so that's what kind of books I've gotten them, and they just can't get enough. And even though they're on lower reading levels, they're starting to pick up enough to where they can understand what they're reading. And you know, some of them living in the country.
What a gift that is, you know. I mean, it's like, do you remember what it was like when you were a kid, and you know, you finally figured out what it was like to start to be able to read and write and communicate? That just opens up an entire different universe.
Right.
A different universe, yeah.
That's exactly, Garrett. You just put your finger on it, because it really actually is the key to the universe and world, because you cannot have for yourself what you can't imagine. And if you're living in, you know, kids that can't go outside because it's so dangerous, can you imagine? If you can't imagine something better for yourself, but when you open the world of books and all of a sudden you can read of worlds that you never thought you could get to, all of a sudden you can aspire to them. If you can aspire to them, you can reach them. Books, there's nothing better for a kid. So you nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I still remember when that world opened for me and how it gave me an escape. So can you only imagine for those kids going through the same thing? And we had much more of an opportunity than they did. So how much more meaningful for them it must be.
And for us to be a chance to do it. When I was a kid, and I went to first grade, with an agenda. I had decided that I was willing to go to school because I wanted to learn to read. And when I got there, I told them, I am here to learn to read. I am not here for math. I did not come for that. Not interested. Thank you so much. I also did not go there to waste my time with recess. I'm the kid. No, I am not doing your recess. I would stand by the wall with my arms folded, waiting for it to end, and then I would go in and I would say, the reading. I am here for the reading. I still can't do
math.
I can't even count change.
Kid.
Yeah, I'm that kid.
Well, and just to I don't want to say that we need to wrap it up, but just to wrap it up, because I have a couple of other things we want to go and talk to Jeanette about. I have updated the show page with the Facebook group, so if you'd like to join that, there's a link for that. There's, again, the link for the Amazon Christie's Elves wish list that you can just click, and it's going to take you right to the Amazon page. So if you'd like to shop tonight or whenever you're listening to the show, you can easily do that. And I'll also have that up on Facebook as well. So please go and help support these amazing people doing fantastic work. Scott, Sharon, I just think you are big-time Christmas angels this year, and I can't thank you enough.
Thank you. Everybody.
Bye-bye. We'll talk to you later.
And everybody go and download Garrett's books.
Go get my CD. So we'll do that. But tonight, let's go help some other people tonight. We can always worry about
Christie's
me at another time.
Honey. Christie's Elves, spelled with a K. Christie's Elves on Facebook. It's all right there.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Sharon.
Good night, you guys. I love you.
Love you.
I love y'all, too. And thank you so much,
all your
listeners, and Sharon and Jeanette and you, Garrett. And just thank you so much for this.
You got it, Scott. After the holidays, let us know how it all works out for you, okay? Because we expect to have lots of smiling kids.
Yeah, all right. Well, we sure appreciate it.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thanks again, Scott. Thanks, Sharon. Jeanette, I promised Barbara that, because she wrote in and she wanted to, you know, she was a little nervous about calling you.
So
and I said, you don't need to be nervous. I'm the one who bites. And so Barbara wrote a note, so I'm just going to read this to you. And I haven't even really read it yet, other because I just said, write it before the show starts. She goes, so this is from Barbara. So, Barbara, this is for you. She says, okay, I was going to tell her how much I appreciate her continuing to do the podcast for us. And not only does she make us laugh, but she does keep us informed about issues that we are as passionate about as she is. And that is because of her. Not only did we all become a group of friends, but an extended family who are there to support one another in good times and bad. And that she and Barry and Pete and all of the ones that hold us together, and I hope that her sister continues to heal and get stronger every day. So that comes from Barbara.
Thank you, Barbara. Barbara's a doll. Well, all of our people are absolutely a doll. But it is, you know, people give me the credit, me and Pete the credit for holding us together. But I say, and I'm sure you feel the same way with your listeners, too. It's like, I don't know who's helping who, because it seems to me,
I'm the lucky one, you know. Every single show I come away going, I've made a new friend, I've learned something new, my world is better because of this or that or the other thing, and how could you make it better? This is just fantastic.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, especially in the world today, because, you know, this is a, you know, here's, now I didn't do my podcast this week. I forgot my part, which sounds dirty, but I had the microphone because my sister had a knee replacement, blah, 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 and the microphone, and I didn't have the freaking thing to plug into the Witchamahoo, and then I got home late. But you know what I was going to say, which was so disappointing? It was, here's how I would have opened my podcast this week, is that that last week we had, it's a shooting a week. Last week we had the Planned Parenthood shooting, but the week before on that podcast we were able to talk about the attack in Mali. The week before on the podcast we were able to talk about the attack in Paris. And on Monday, what I was going to say facetiously, I do have a very dark sense of humor, was I wonder who will be shot this week. And in a state of horror, more people have been.
It's just, it's so sad.
It is shocking, the world that we're living in right now.
And you know, I was doing an interview this morning, Jeanette, with a radio station in the UK, and they said, oh, so it looks like it's just another typical day in the United States for you today, isn't it, Garrett? And I said, what does the world think of us? And they said, this happens all the time, doesn't it? And they said, we are just absolutely mortified and ashamed about this, and, you know, but what do you do?
Yeah, I don't know what we do. This is not the world that I was born into, and yet it's the world that it's become. So it's absolutely disheartening. I find it a little bit odd. I will come around and make it why I was bringing up this point. But I find it a little bit odd that normally when there's a shooting, we do have a week or more of press. We have a lot of articles about gun control. We hear it. You can't turn on the TV without it. You can't sign on CNN without the first bunch of stories being about it. But the Planned Parenthood shooting seemed to disappear in an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, is this because of what it was? And I thought, you know, I find this very odd. I have never, ever read a story where a group of people who believed in the freedom to choose, in our right to choose, went and bombed a right to life office. Never. No person who believes in the freedom of choice that I have ever read about has gone out and committed violence in the name of their belief. But the people who are, and this is just hysterical, right to lifers, let's go kill. How is that? How that does not compute in any way, shape, or form. And then the media, it just seemed awfully odd to me that that story was not getting the coverage that a shooting normally does. But the reason I actually brought up shootings right now is that how can we counteract this except by what we were just talking about? You got to play close to home, and we get to play close to home with podcast and radio because we have this intimacy with our listeners. And so I can and do sometimes feel when the shooting in California started, was it only yesterday?
Yesterday.
I was at my office, and I was standing there, and Gina had gone out to the coffee room and came in and said, "There's another shooting," and I am not a crier, and literally I just did. It was like you feel sometimes like you can't hold it anymore. So the only thing that I can do, you've got to think about it, and we have to know about it, but then start thinking about people, the stories we've already talked about, so I won't repeat the whole thing, but, you know, about people like, you know, Christy and her husband, about the chance that I can't do anything about the shooting, but I can make myself feel better by, you know, buying a book. Or even if it isn't, it doesn't have to be anything even that deep. I can just think about my friends. I feel really horrible, but I know, you know, I don't know if you know Petra, but Petra's another friend of ours from the thing. You know, I can text her. We've got Terry Caliendo, who inspires us all to exercise. I have all of these friends, and then all of the people, I don't always say their names. I've got an imaginary friend, Lori Close. She made me her imaginary friend. I'm thrilled I've got one. And these things that seem so small, I think, are the islands that we hold on to, because that's real humanity. And that's what we want out of life. And if we hold on to that enough and push hard enough on that, I feel like that's all we can do, because I don't know what we can do about this, what's happening in our country and in our world. It's just, it is,
you know,
weird.
You know, you go, okay, well, it just can't get any weirder or dumber than this, or it can't get any more depressing or sad. And then something like yesterday happens, and you're like, what the F?
Yeah. And I wish, you know, I want them to do the gun control so that we can get through gun control and find a solution that's actually going to work. California has some of the toughest gun laws in the country. Let's stop arguing about it. Do it, because I don't think that it's going to stop it. But
no, I don't either.
Do it.
So just do it.
Not.
Exactly.
But let's do it, because we're not, until we do it, then no other solution is going to be recommended. People are only going to talk about gun control. And I'm for gun control. But it isn't going to control anything, and it's not going to do it. But we have to get that out of the way to find a solution.
Yeah, because the fact is, you know, gun control works for the 99.99% of the people that are quote unquote normal, or the people that it's okay for. But I don't think you're going to, you know, two of the guns that were used yesterday were bought legally, the rest were not.
Exactly.
And so it's great that the gun control laws are in place, but, you know, if you wanted to go buy a gun tonight, Jeanette, and you've already been arrested of a felony or served time in prison or anything else like that, if you really wanted to go find a gun, guess what? You're going to find a gun.
Right.
Easily.
And we already have laws that are supposedly preventing those people from getting guns. Yeah. They're not working. So so we got a sickness in our society. I don't know what it is or where it is, but only... there's only one thing that can fix any of this, and it is the one thing that Christy knows is the only thing that exists, which is love. We have got to just throw love around wildly, throw it at each other, throw it wherever we can, because that's got to be the only antidote to what's going on.
I think that is a great place to wrap up the show tonight. Can you
believe
our hour?
An hour has gone by.
I
adore you. I didn't get enough.
I adore you. Oh,
I no me you you. I adore you. I love your singing voice. I love it.
Thank you so much.
I love your posts. I love seeing your pictures. Thank you so much for having me on. Thank you so much for helping us with Christy's Elves. I appreciate it. Really from the bottom of my heart.
Anything that we can do to help others, I always think is a good thing to do. But this story just tugs at your heart. Again, folks, if you're listening to this either live or on the Memorex of YouTube, I think it's, you know, because it's the show's here forever. And, you know, like the roaches after nuclear bomb, this will still be here. So go help make some lives much better. You know, like Jeanette said, the first book on the list on the wish list is $3.59. You don't have to spend $100. You don't have to spend $200. You don't have to do something crazy. $4 changes a life tonight, and you have the power to do that. And I think that is really, that's the spirit of the season, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a gift.
Yeah.
That's our gift to everyone that's listening.
So with that, I'm going to end on, guess what? It's Christmas time by yours truly.
Yay!
And then we'll see everybody live tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with Mr. Charles Wright. We're going to be playing his new music and talking about his brand new book. Don't drive distracted, and thanks, everybody, for being part of the show. We'll see you tomorrow.
Christmas with the sunshine in the trees. You might not even think of Santa Claus with his dogs down by the beach. Oh, their tails they are all wagging, wagging here to there. And the joyous sounds of barking without care. Christmas without your winter clothes. You might want a tiny puppy or one with a big brown nose. Either way, you'll feel so happy with love from Santa's sleigh. And playing with your puppy Christmas Day. Bathe and clipped with bells and bows. How they love to lick your nose. And old Saint Nicky knew. And guess what? It's Christmas time for you.
Listening to Rated G Radio.